Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
So happy this morning? Amen. We're going to continue our series. We've been talking on triumphing in trials. And as I mentioned last week, you're either in the midst of the trial, or you're coming out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. Thank you for all that excitement. All right. The fact is, that's part of life. And even as a believer, as a Christian, we go through difficult things. The Bible says in James, count it all joy whenever you go into trials. Why? As you go through a trial, as you're tempted, as there's pressure there, what happens? When we're under pressure, what's in us comes out. And sometimes that's a negative thing. We don't like what comes in out of us. Sometimes I've had people, and you see them, and you know they're very good look Christians, and they like got all together, and under pressure, something happens, and then a blankety blank blank comes out. Oh, it got really quiet here right now. Amen. Come on, those people attend the 9 o'clock service. No. But what it shows, and even we're shocked sometimes at what's there. Under pressure, our attitudes, our thoughts, our emotions that come out. But that's not a bad thing. That's because God is wanting to work in our lives. God's more interested, we say, in our character than our comfort. When things come out, don't get into condemnation. There's no condemnation as we're in Christ. But allow God to work in our life. Don't get bitter, get better. Come before God, and as we're open before God, God is going to work in our life. And so we always talk about coming to the place of purpose. We talk about destiny. We talk about, you know, the high calling. But it's a journey to get there. We don't just come and get saved and immediately we're on the mountaintop. Are you here? It's a process of walking through valleys, of going through trials. If you missed last week's message, go back. It's on all the social media platforms, on YouTube. We talked about why we go through trials. And this morning, I want to take it a little bit further. The Bible tells us in Psalms 23, verse 1, this has been our main text. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. Someone say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
It's important. God has to be our shepherd. What does it mean that he's our shepherd? It means he's the Lord. It means we're letting him guide us and lead us in our lives. But he can't be shepherd if we don't trust him.
That's good.
Is he your shepherd in your finances? You got to trust him. He's not going to force himself. He doesn't force control. In our ministry, is he our shepherd? Do we lead? Sometimes we have to do stuff that we don't like to do. Sometimes there's a delay before the high calling comes. It was 10 years before the Lord released Pastor Susan and myself to come back to America. But we knew for 10 years it was going to happen. The last 7 years, God confirmed it.
Yes.
And when we least expected it, when we laid it on the altar, we let God determine the timing. All of a sudden, within 3 months, our whole world shifted and God rearranged everything and it happened. How many know that's what happened? Adam and Lace are here today. And Liam, our new addition, give them a big hand. They're inside today. But that baby comes when it wants to. You know, we were texting back, when's it coming? And we're in labor, and they have false labor, and the Braxton Hicks, and then the real labor comes, and you're like, 3 hours by faith, in Jesus' name, this thing's coming forth. And 9, 10, 12 hours later, you're still waiting for the timing. But when that baby comes, it comes suddenly, and nothing's stopping that baby. Come on. Your water breaks, and you go into contractions, and that baby comes into this world. He determines the time. That's how thing is in life. Paul said that I pray like a mother that you might be transformed, like I travail like a woman in labor. And it's not that point of prayer, that's that point of trusting God, and we're in that place. And when is this thing ever going to happen? My feet are swollen, my back's hurting. I'm ready to deliver. But we have to wait. We're only in our second trimester. We got to wait for the third trimester, you know? All the men are looking at me really dumb. That's like the last weeks, all right? Takes 9 months, all right? But it doesn't happen. We get excited. Oh, I'm pregnant. I want the baby tomorrow. No, God gives you 9 months to prepare because he's a good God, amen? But when it's time, it's time. And nothing stops the purpose of God. But is God our shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he said this, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Someone say trials. Sometimes it's a little scary. But he says, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And last week we learned that life is a mixture of pain and pleasure. You don't really know pleasure if you never experienced pain. Life is a mixture of victory and defeat, but defeat or failure is not fatal. It's not final. I was in ministry in certain seasons and around certain things, and I'm like, God, what's going on here? And God's like, I'm showing you what not to do. Sometimes the lesson is learning what not to do so you know what to do, not just knowing what to do. And so we go through things like this, success and failure, mountaintops and trials or dark valleys. But how do we respond in the midst of trials? It's very important for us. The children of Israel didn't respond in their trial. So what did they do? They kept going around in circles in the wilderness. And some people are like, I'm so tired of the cycle repeating itself. Well, have a different response. Yeah. If there's a cycle of debt, have a different response. It's called a budget. Come on, well, I deserve, I'm a child of the king. Yeah, you deserve, but you don't get everything now. Come on, your 12-year-old doesn't get a license in a car. My daughter's gonna get her learner's license, Erica, soon, and Ethan and Aaron are driving. She's like, Dad, can I drive? I'm like, no, you don't have a learner's yet. But Dad, I can do it, I'm tall, I've got long legs. But it's not time yet. There's a timing, and because we're good parents, come on, we don't give our kids their inheritance when they don't have the maturity. We've talked about that. We preached on that. Yeah. And so sometimes we're like, well, I'm tired of waiting. Well, you're only 18. What have you been waiting for? Come on. Moses waited 100 years for the promise. It took thousands of years before Jesus came. Are you here? We're waiting. He said, I'm coming back soon. It's been more than 2,000 years. We're still waiting. But a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. When God lives outside of eternity, the understanding of timing is not the same. But what's more important, we can determine the timing by our right response. How do we respond in the midst of trials? Well, he gives us here in this verse. In Psalms 23, verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does he say? First thing he says is, I will fear no evil. Yeah. How do we respond? Refuse to be afraid in the midst of your trial. When we're going through a financial trial, we go through a health trial. What do we do? We need to refuse to be afraid. So what do we do? When I was growing up, we learned this song. And, you know, some of you might have remembered this song. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Some of you are just looking at me. Come on, you're the newly saved, the newbies. Come on. But in the 80s, that was a very popular song. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Fear not, for I am with you. We sing that song. Why? Because that's what David's saying here. Refuse to be afraid. Don't be fearful in the midst of uncertainty. There's people gripped by fear. They still haven't come out of their house 2 years into COVID. Still so fearful. Double masking and don't want to come out and just eating DoorDash every day and leave it at the door. And they come out with all their sanitizer. They're living in fear. See people walking down the street by themselves. Fearful. Don't talk about 6 feet, 60 feet. Are you here? And yet most of the world's recovered. And, you know, we get into crisis and we get into a crisis of faith. Whatever you have faith for, put your faith in it. If you have faith to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you have faith not to wear a mask, then wear a mask. If you have faith to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you have faith not to get vaccinated. It's all according to our faith. Yes. Are you here? Amen. We're in different places, but refuse to be afraid. Life has risk. Being a Christian, there's risk to being a Christian. Trusting God to be a giver, as Pastor Troy said, it takes risk, right? Because sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. Sometimes God tells us stuff and it's not in our budget. It's not according to our plans. I got real quiet here this morning. But are we willing to take risk? The Bible says, as you sow, a farmer takes risk when he puts all his money and tens of thousands of dollars into seed. There's no guarantee that seed will come up. There's a lot of things that can hinder the seed, but he trusts the harvest. He trusts the ground. He trusts the law of seed time and harvest, that what you sow, you're going to reap. Every seed might not come up, but if we have good ground and we plow the ground and we water it and we keep the weeds out and we fertilize it and we protect the crop, what's going to happen? You're going to get a harvest. How does it work? I don't know. It's the law of nature, but it takes risk. Living by faith requires risk. Come on, getting married requires risk. That's why some of us are still single. Come on. Someone asked me, like, did you know 100% that this was the woman you should marry? I said, no, 90%. Come on, there's still that 10%. But I didn't feel so bad. I asked my pastor, did you know? He said, 80%. I said, okay, I'm doing better. But you don't know. You don't really know a person until you marry them and live with them. Come on, I'm still learning things about my wife. She's still learning things about me. You know, when you're dating, everything, but she always looks perfect, every, you know, hair in place and looks beautiful like she does this morning, smells nice. But how many know we all wake up in the morning with bad breath? I realize her eyelashes are not as long as they really are. Come on, I mean, as they are when you see her. Come on. We discover things about each other. Are you here? Sometimes my wife said, babe, you need a shower. Amen. You discover things here. We're not always at our best behavior, but we're learning to do life together. It involves risk to build a life together, to trust one another. Having a baby requires risk. Come on, all of the new parents are there. I know we talked to Adam and Lace and different ones that are giving, and like, it's a little scary. Am I going to be a good parent? We had a teacher, one of our teachers that taught our kids, both Aaron and Ethan had him for fourth grade. And he was a teacher, and he was a New Zealander that taught when we were in Singapore. And he loved kids, and he's great with kids. I'm like, when are you going to have kids? Oh, I'm not so sure. I don't know if I want my own kids. I'm like, what? I mean, this wasn't a person that, you know, their vision was, it didn't include family. Like, he loves kids, and he's a great teacher. I'm like, what? I said, you'd be a great dad. And that was the issue. And so we encouraged him. He's like, I don't know. And his wife wanted kids. And finally, like, well, we're just going to have one. Ended up having four boys. Come on. Great family, he loves it and doing great. Why? But there's a risk to having. Am I going to be a good parent? Am I going to be able to take care of this kid? I'm responsible for this kid. Not just for 18 years, but for 20-something years. Come on. Until they get out of school. It's a responsibility. There's a risk. Going after our dream requires a risk. Some of us, we have a dream to be an entrepreneur. We have a dream to do great things for God. But, oh, the economy's not so great right now. People are talking recession. Is it a good time? There's risk involved in everything. And we need to know God's timing, but you still have to take risk. Can you imagine Peter? Jesus is there, and he says, come on, get out of the boat. Walk on water. He says, if it's you, Jesus, say the word, and I'll do it. And Jesus says, come. And then he's like, well, I need to pray and fast and get three confirmations and 10 scripture verses, then I'll step out. They would have been at the other side already. It required risk to trust Jesus and step out. It's gonna require risk to fulfill your dream. Starting this church, there's risks that are involved. In saving souls and going and doing missions work, there's risk. We're not always in the safest places. So as we go through life, we've got to come to the place where we're facing trials or there's pressure, there's uncertainty. Don't be afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, many of us know the verse. It says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's a spirit that is drawn and attracted to a person that's afraid. Once you get into fear, it's a slippery slope. And we can be bound by fear. There's people that are bound by a spirit of fear. You know, they're hypochondriacs. Everything, they're so fearful and they're tormented by sickness. They go to the doctor, check out everything every other week and nothing's wrong with them. But I'm so afraid. I'm going to die. I'm going to get this disease. And they come up with diseases no one's even heard of because they're always on the internet researching. Bound by fear. There's people in fear of women. Fear of men. Because they got jilted in high school. Come on. That was a boy. That wasn't a man. Yeah. Are you here? Oh, I got real quiet here this morning. Come on. Don't be fearful. We've got to come to the place where we fight fear. There's a spirit of fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but what? A power of love and of a sound mind, that God wants to empower us to overcome our fear. How do you face your fear? How do you overcome your fear? You got to face it. What is fear? False evidence as appearing real. It's not real. There's no boogeyman under your bed. Your worst scenario of what you think is not true. Are you here? We got to deal with the fear. As we look at Moses and he's bringing 3 million Israelites out of Egypt. It was scary because all they'd known was slavery. And of course, no one wants to be a slave. But now that you're not a slave, you've got to learn how to take care of yourself. As you were a slave, you had a home, you were fed, your basic necessities were taken care of, and you just worked. Now there's no security. They didn't have a roof over their head. They had to trust, and it was fearful, even though it was a bad situation, but now they're moving into a situation. They had to learn. It's like a kid that gets out of college and like, I can't wait to live on my own. I just want to move out of my house and be independent, make my own decisions. Good luck with that. Come on. Now you got these things called bills. Come on, you woke up, you slept in 12 hours, got up and there was food in the refrigerator and milk and orange juice and went to take a shower and the water worked. The electricity was on, the air conditioning was working, and you didn't have to worry about nothing. Your parents took care of that. Now you got bills and you didn't open your bill and the red one came and you didn't open that one and you wake up and there's no electricity. Your water has done been turned off. Come on, you forgot to pay your rent. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't care you're sorry. Here's an eviction notice. And you begin to realize you had it pretty good. There might have been some rules, some restrictions. But what is it now? Being independent, you've got to grow up and you've got to learn to manage all these things you didn't have to worry about. And it can be a bit intimidating. And thank God our parents say you don't kick your 18 out. See you later. You know, come back when you're getting married, you know. No, we're still there to help, but we've got to learn to be independent. This is what happened. There's a fear that's happened. That's why some people are still 40-year-olds sleeping on their parents' couch because they're fearful with life. Are you here? God doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. And so what happened? The children of Israel come out. They're at a point of desperation. They go out and they enter out. They leave supernaturally. God parts the Red Sea, but now they're in the wilderness, and what do they have to do? It's hot. They got to work. God's providing. God's there for them. But God's wanting to work in their life and get things out. But what do? They just grumble and they complain because they're fearful. And because of fear, they never entered into the promised land. Fear has an uncanny ability to do 4 things. What does fear do? It makes us skeptical. What happens? You see people jumping off the cliff into the water, and you see all the Instagram reels, and you're like, I want to do that. And you go there, and there's like rocks down there. It doesn't matter the 200 people that jumped off that are fine. You're looking at the rock, and you're like, I'm going to be the one to hit the rock. Oh, don't look at me like that. You think like that too. Come on. And what happens? We get skeptical. Because the rubber hits the road. Now it's really happening. You're in the airplane. I want to jump out of a plane. And you're up there and you're about ready to wet your pants. Your people are jumping out in their faith. You see the ground down there and come on. They give you a parachute and say, if that one doesn't open, go for the second one. You're like, what if the second one doesn't open? They're like, well, that probably won't happen. Come on. And now it's time to jump. When you get down, you're gonna hit, you gotta hit properly so you don't break your leg. And you're like, what am I doing? There's risk. It was fun with the idea, but what happens? Fear makes us skeptical. Exodus 14, verse 11, it says, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Hear the sarcasm. We get sarcastic. And we start being sarcastic because we're afraid. We ridicule what we're afraid of to cover our fear. What does fear do? Not only does it make us skeptical, it makes us selfish. When we're fearful, what do? We only rely on ourselves and our own needs. Exodus 14, 11 says, they said, why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? They started blaming Moses. Babe, don't you know we're in recession? Can you buy some cheaper makeup? You're spending a lot on makeup. Well, this is good for me. My skin, it's hypoallergenic. And it's, well, can't we get some cheaper stuff? I saw Costco has makeup. we get fearful and we start trying to micromanage stuff. I don't know where that came from. It was not in the first service, but praise the Lord. Honey, why are you washing your car every week? Dwayne, come on, your car. It don't rain in California. We're in a drought. Why you keep spending money on water and keep washing your car? And don't you know you're not supposed to have idols? And what do? We begin to become critical of other people. We begin it because we're selfish. We're afraid of losing out. Are you here? And fear comes in to our life. We start blaming other people of where we're at. We start accusing others, and we excuse ourselves from having faith because of fear. Thirdly, fear makes us stubborn. I ain't getting no amens on that. Fear makes us stubborn. Exodus 14, verse 12, it says, they said, is this not the word that we were told in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Here they are. They're crying out. The cries of the people came out to God. God raises up Moses to deliver. They come out and see all the signs and wonders, and now they're there, and they're like, we're just going to die in the wilderness, and the promised land has giants, and we don't like fighting. Because they had a slave mentality. Yeah. They were bound by fear. And so they became stubborn. Yeah. How are we stubborn? We resist change. Statistics tell us 70% of people resist change. What does that mean? They resist anything new. Keep it safe. Let's not do anything new. This is how we've always done things. And that's why we have conflict in marriage sometimes, because they've done things one way, you've done things one way, and what are we going to do? It's called mutual compromise, loving patience, and holy trust. We got to compromise. How are we going to do stuff together? Well, I've done it this way for 28 years. Well, you're married now. Amen. What did they say? Basically, they said, leave me alone. I don't want to try anything new. I just want to die. I just want to stick my head in the ground. They weren't willing to change. That's the favorite phrase that they had. They were skeptical. They were selfish. They were stubborn because of fear. What does fear do? Finally, fear makes us short-sighted. We no longer see the long-term plan. We no longer see the mountaintop God called us to. We just get tunnel vision of where we're at right now. In Exodus 14, verse 12, it said, they said, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we die here in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to their past. They forgot that they were sowing seeds for their future, and they wanted to retreat backwards and go back into bondage. Are you here? Rather than pushing into the promised land. We're not there yet, but we got to keep walking. Yeah. We got to keep pushing on. That's faith. Don't become enslaved to your issues. Yeah. Don't become enslaved to uncertainty and allow fear to cripple us. Come on, we're called to walk on water. We're called to slay giants. We're called to take ground for God, but it requires faith. Yeah. Yeah. They preferred slavery because it brought certainty to them. If you step out in faith in your job, in your family, in your ministry, you can expect people to respond the same way. People respond to be skeptical. Are you sure this is the Lord? You better be careful. I remember when we were starting a church, why are you leaving? The revival's not in America, it's in Asia. Why are you leaving the revival and going back to America? And I'm like, because God called us to. Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure? And we had to stand up to it. People told us, oh, don't buy a house. Like, we're here. God told me to plant a stake in the ground and like a flag. And I said, we're going to buy a home because this is home now. We didn't even start the church. And people said, well, what if the church doesn't work out? What if it doesn't happen? Now you're stuck with property and the market's not good. And what are you going to do? You're going to be stuck. And thank God we listened to God. Our property appreciated by 100%. That's a place to give the Lord a big shout. Come on, amen, at least for my sake. Because we obey God. But what happens? We get stubborn. People are stubborn. They fight us. They just think about their interests and not about the big picture, about the kingdom. They're short-sighted. Let's stay where we're at. Let's not rock the boat. But it's insanity to think if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to have a different result. Sometimes you got to do something different to move forward in God. You got to step out in the water. It's scary. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Come on, you believe that? Give the Lord a big hand. Amen? Let's go back to Psalms 23. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I will fear no evil. Because you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does he say? When he says, I will fear no evil, what is he saying? I will fear nothing. Come on, if God is on our side, who can stand against us? You know, when we do tug of war, and you know, the men's meeting, we have tug of war, what do? We always pick the big guys. Come on, because you want the big guys on your team. They got muscles. You want they got biceps and triceps. Come on. You want those that got weight. Put them in the back. Nobody's moving them. They're a rock. Come on. Why? Because we see the strength. And when the strength's on our side, it produces confidence. Yeah. But who's on our side? God's on our side. Amen. All powerful, right. All knowing, can be in every place at one time. We're on the winning side. It doesn't matter the situation. We're looking at if God is with us, what can stand against us? If God is for us, come on, we're the head and not the tail. We're first and not last. We're going in a place of breakthrough. Come on, we need to rise up in faith in the midst of our situation. Well, there's recession. Well, we've got someone in the White House, and people say, oh, we hear all the negative news. You know, he's got dementia, and we're all fearful. What's going to happen? It's the end of the world as we know it. We even write songs about it. People say, oh, you're never going to go to the movies again. Movies are obsolete. Regal's closing down. There's no more movie theaters. Come on. We just had the biggest weekend with Top Gun. People are back at the movies. Come on. Oh, church. There's no more church anymore. We're just going to do online services and all of this nonsense of fear that comes up. Come on. Tell your neighbor, you made it. Come on. Come on. You're in church today. We're getting back to doing church. Yeah, we might spread out a little bit more. We might wash our hands a little bit more. We might take some precautions and be wise with them more. But come on, we progress in faith. They've been preaching doom and gloom, and people have been negative, and even preachers preach doom and gloom sometimes. But come on, the righteous will flourish in any situation. Isaac sowed in a land of famine. Come on, I'm trying to get you stirred up. Help me preach this morning. Don't look at your negative situation and stand in fear. Tell your neighbor, say, I will fear nothing. Tell someone behind you, say, I will fear nothing. Don't let fear cripple you. We got to refuse to be afraid. How do we handle trials? Refuse to be afraid. Number two, refuse to be discouraged. If we're not careful, we can be discouraged. What's discouragement? It's the lack of courage. Do we experience difficult situations? Do we experience negativity? Yes, we're in this world. It's a fallen world. But don't get discouraged. David said this in Psalms 23, verse 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley, we're going through things. But what do we got to do? We got to keep walking. We got to be calm. We got to be deliberate. The Bible says we live by faith and we walk by faith and not by sight. Stop watching the negativity. Stop listening to the negativity. Turn off the bad news. I stay updated on world events and what's happening, but I'm careful what I listen to. Come on, you turn on the news for 5 minutes, you'll be depressed. Because bad news sells, sensationalism sells. Everything that happens, it's times 10. Of negativity, even if it's in the middle somewhere, and that's the truth. But there's such negativity out there. Oh, gas prices, and oh, this, and oh, and everyone's doing gloom. You're gonna make it. Come on, the human race has been progressing through smallpox and through typhoid fever and the Black Plague and COVID and SARS and all of that. Other stuff's coming. We live in a fallen world, but guess what? We're more than conquerors. Well, I know one person that died. Well, I know many that didn't. Amen. Come on. We need to stand in faith. We got to not be discouraged. We got to keep walking. You walk through the valley. Don't come under the valley. Don't camp there and build a house there. Keep walking. Keep moving. What is discouragement? Discouragement is always a choice. I have difficult situations that I deal with. I have negative things that I have, and people always bring me in their problems. But I have a decision to take on courage or to be discouraged. Last week I talked about Ziklag, and David was in a discouraging situation, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. What is courage? It's not denying the situation, it's tapping into God. It's getting into what God says about a situation, it's getting God's perspective of something and getting encouraged. But if we start saying, well, I'm going to die. We stop saying, oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fail for sure. I'm a worm. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. We spiral downward. And you might not say that out loud, but you think it. We need to change our perspective. Don't look at the negatives. Choose to look at Jesus. Choose to look at the positive. Well, I don't feel like a winner right now, but you're more than a conqueror. Yeah. Point in the mirror. You. Yeah, you. You're more than a conqueror. I don't feel like more than a conqueror. You are. Because that's who God says you are. Are you here? Amen. Talk to yourself. Just don't talk back, all right? But talk to yourself. Encourage yourself. That's what it means. Meditate on the word of God. What does it mean? Mutter to yourself. Yeah. Today's going to be a great day. Oh, everyone's losing their deals. People are quitting the business. More business for me. Have that perspective. Yeah. God just weeded out all my competition. People are quitting and they're doing, more business for me. Restaurants are closing down. Great, more customers for me. Change your perspective. Look at the positive. Not that we wish bad or evil on others, but come on, I don't care. For me and my house, we're serving the Lord. The blood's on my house. The angel of death passes over. It's passing over my house. Come on. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life if I dwell in the house of God forever. What's the good news? Choose not to be discouraged. Are we effective? Do we look at stuff? Do we have compassion? Yes, but I'm not doing that. There's no recession in my house. Well, we're headed for a recession, not me. There's no recession in God's economy. Some of you, how can you say that? Well, start saying it. Start believing it. Someone's making money when other people are losing money. When the market's going down, people are still making money. It's what side of the market are you on? Are you here? Yeah. It's being wise. It's positioning yourself in the right place. Are you here? It's the perspective we look. You heard me tell the story about the shoe salesman who went to Africa and went home. Nobody wears shoes here. And the other one went and had the perspective of encouragement. Send every shoe you have. Nobody wears shoes here. We can sell everything we got. What is your perspective? I put this up for you. The principle of vision is this. You will be drawn to what you focus upon. If you're drawn to the ditch, guess where you're headed? The race car driver is never trained to look at the bends. They look at the track. When you're riding a motorcycle and you're going that way around a turn, you don't look that way because you'll fall. Keep your eyes at the light at the end of the tunnel. Keep your eyes on what God said. And come on, as you walk through the valley, you're going to walk through the valley and you're going to get into the vision. You're going to get into the focus of what God has said for you. Yes. Focus on Jesus, not the circumstance, not the situation, but the Savior. Not the problem, but the power of God. Why do we need the power of God? Because there's a lot of problems out there. We need the power of God to deal with the sickness problem. We need the power of God to heal the heart. We need the power of the word to renew our mind. There's obstacles that we're facing, but focus on the positive and on the power. Right. Don't be discouraged. Number three, what do we have to do in the midst of trials? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And draw yourself into God's presence. David said this in Psalms 23, verse 4. Are you learning something? He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You are with me. You're here in the midst of the valley. You're here in the lion's den. You're here in the fiery furnace. You're here in the midst of COVID. You're here in the midst of my relationship struggle. You're here in the midst of my addiction. You're here in the midst of rejection. What is it that you're facing? You're not going through this valley by yourself. Come on, God is with you. You're not alone. God promises us his presence. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says this, when you pass through the waters, what does he say? I'll be with you. Though you go through the rivers, they're not gonna overflow you. Though you walk through the fire, you're not gonna be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you. What is he gonna say? You're not gonna drown. You're not gonna burn up. You're not gonna die. You're gonna swim better. Come on, you're going to learn to have thicker skin so you don't get burned and affected by everything you walk through. You're going to learn to die, that your flesh doesn't rule and control your life, that you're not emotionally led all the time. That you don't allow your thinking to bring you into discouragement. In the midst of the pressure, God's putting that pressure to come to help you, not for your destruction, but to make you better. Yeah. Yeah. To make you an overcomer, to make you a living testimony. That as you walk through stuff and people are struggling, say, I understand, you're going to get through this. Let me tell you my story. Yeah. You think you're in a problem? Psh, that's nothing. God's a debt cancellation God. God's a restorer of marriages. God's a healer. God's a deliverer. God is faithful. Come on. And we can put our trust in the Lord. You believe that? Give the Lord a shout. Amen. God doesn't sit in heaven and look down and say, I hope you make it. Otas, good luck with that. Hope you make it. See you on the other side. No. His presence is there with us. Though we walk through the valley, his presence is there. And what is his presence there? It's leading us. It's guiding us. There's a strategic change you see here from verse, in Psalms 23, from the initial language. It starts out, and what does it say? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's, God is amazing. God is all powerful. God is good all the time. God is good. It's the third person. But what happens? He switches here to the second person pronoun. And what does he say? I shall not want. Because why? He says, he will make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He changes from God. That's religion. God is able. Yeah. The Lord can heal if he wants to. All things are possible in God. No relationship religion. You know about God. But come on, when his presence is there, you, he, it's personal. He's with me in the midst of the storm. He's here with me. His presence is here with me. It becomes personal. He goes on and he keeps talking about God. He's not talking to God, about God, excuse me. He's talking to God. And he goes on in verse 4, he says, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Come on, if Daniel hadn't gone into the furnace, he wouldn't have met the fourth man. Yeah. If he hadn't gone into the lion's den, he wouldn't have seen God who closes the mouths of lions. If David hadn't fought the lion, he wouldn't have been able to fight the bear. If he hadn't fought the lion, the bear, he wouldn't have been able to stand up in a time of fear and say, who are you uncircumcised Philistines? This is the army of God. A little boy, and everyone's like, what are you doing? Who are you, David? You can't even wear armor, you little skinny boy. Couldn't even wear it. Saul wanted to give you his armor, and it couldn't even fit. And he takes 5 stones. And with that stone, he trusts in God, the same God that helped him with the rod to kill the lion, that helped him to kill the bear, that he's going to direct the stone. And he shoots Goliath, and 1 stone, game over. It wasn't even a great movie. Wasn't much fighting going on. Shoot, 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 boom. All right. He took those 4 other stones. Why? Because they were 4 brothers of Goliath. You want to be a giant slayer? You want to do great things for God? God, use us. We want to change our world. You got to learn to fight the fight of faith. You got to learn. God's not going to put you with Goliath if you can't handle Goliath. He's going to give you a lion first. He's going to give you a bear first. And in the midst of those trials, we begin to, our faith grows because God's with us. We have the revelation, not just mentally, a mental revelation, but an experiential revelation of who our God is. Are you here? Religion becomes a relationship where we just talk about God. But it's not a true relationship. Relationship is when we encounter the presence of God. Don't spend your time being spent. Don't spend your time being depleted, being depressed, being perplexed. Come on, get into the presence of God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's breakthrough. Come on, put on the garment of praise and lift off the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes you got to put it on like you get dressed. When you put on a garment, what does it do? It goes over your eyes. You got to start seeing with faith. It goes over your ears. You got to start hearing with faith. It goes over your mouth, and you got to start speaking with faith. It goes over your heart, and you got to start getting into faith. And then what happens? It goes on your feet, and you start walking by faith. Put on the garment of praise. Praise God in your situation. Praise God in prison. Yes. Come on and watch and see what God will do. And the chains will be shaken. And they're so busy praising God, they didn't run out of the prison and stop their praise-a-thon. Come on, they kept praising until they were done, even though the gates were open, because they were more focused on the presence of God, on the glory of God, than their situation. Come on, that's what God's wanting to bring in our life. God will never be closer to you than when you go through the dark valleys. When you go through trials, you begin to encounter his presence in a powerful way. How do we overcome? How do we go through trials? Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, refuse to be discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Thirdly, draw yourself in the presence of God. And four, rely on God's protection and guidance. David reminds himself of God's rod and God's staff, and he gets comfort in that. Verse 4, he said in Psalms 23, he said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Look at God. He's got a big rod. He's got a big stick. Not to beat you, but to beat off your enemies, to fight the wolves, to protect you. A rod was basically 2 feet long, and it had a big knot on it. It wasn't just a little metal rod like we see. It was 2 feet long, and it had a little big knot on the end of it, and they would take that thing like a spear, and when the wolves came, they would throw it, and it would knock the wolf, and the wolf would run away. That's what God's doing for you. They were very skillful. Come on, when the enemy comes against you, as 1,000 rise on your left, what happened? 10,000 fall on your right. Because God is there. Put your trust in God. God will defend you. I've had people talk bad about me. I've had people say things. I've had people, and we get so discouraged. Come on, don't come down to the level of your critics. Let God fight your battles, and God will bring things around. God will defend you. God will protect you. He's a shepherd that defends us, that protects us. What can men do to us? What can anyone do to you? Come on, you're protected. The blood of Jesus is upon your life. It's not for your destruction. It's so that you can overcome. They had a staff also. It was a long stick with a curved end on it. And what would happen? The shepherd, when the sheep would get distracted, looking up at the sky, he would come and nudge the sheep. Come on, get back on us. When we lost focus of the voice of God and what God has spoken, come on, get back to the shepherd's voice. Get your focus back. He'd use the staff to lift them up when they were down. That's God. He's an encourager, that he's there to lead us. Some say, well, I don't know what God is saying. God's supposed to lead me, but I don't know what he's saying right now. Come on, God's been leading people for thousands of years. He's good at it. Trust more in his ability to speak to you than your ability to hear. Trust more in his ability to lead you than your ability to miss it. Come on, if you're really slow, he can even send an angel in the night, give you a dream. Sometimes that's the only time God can talk to us, when we're sleeping. We're not talking or listening to the wrong thing. God will get through to us. Amen? When you go through the valley of life, the scary part are the shadows. But there's a few things about shadows. Shadows are bigger than they really are. Come on. You see that big old shadow? Oh my gosh, it's a monster. It was just a little mouse. But the shadow makes it big and scary. Shadows cannot hurt you, only in the movies, which is fake. A shadow can't hurt you. Somebody's afraid of you. Ah, who's that? It's a shadow. It's got no power. Third thing about shadows is there can't be a shadow without a light somewhere. So when you see the shadow of destruction, what do you need to do? Turn towards the light. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. Don't focus on the darkness that's a reflection, a counterfeit of the light, trying to distract you of who he is. Put your eyes on him. Put your eyes on the light. Look towards the light and turn your back on the shadow. Look directly to the light. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Keep walking to the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, it's dark right now. Just keep your eyes fixed on the light and keep walking, keep walking. I've shared this before, but one of the greatest examples of this I love is when I go to the Chicago airport. And I've been to so many airports, but Chicago, when you get on the moving elevator, it says, keep walking, keep walking. Keep walking. And I think every airport should have that, because people just get there and camp out. Their kids are lying. You're like rushing. There's no keep right, keep left. They're just camped out, jet lagged. But in Chicago, people walk, keep walking, keep walking. So everyone's there because there's this voice that says, keep walking, keep walking. And subconsciously, people just keep walking. Why don't we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our valley, and just keep walking, keep your eyes. Well, what about this? What about that? Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking through your valley into your promised land. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. But if you look at Jesus, you'll be at rest. But it's a choice. We've got to put our eyes on Jesus. I love the old song. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Come on, we need to make a contemporary version of that. I mean, that's anointed. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look to the light. And the things of this world, the trials, the things that are discouraging, the things that you're getting you down will grow strangely dim. Come on, don't look at the stock market. You look at the stock market, you'll be stressed. It's up and down, up and down. Some of us, our joy is on the, oh, praise God, I'm making money today. Oh my gosh, I'm losing money. I asked my wife the other day, I said, how's your investment doing? She said, I'm not looking at it. I mean, you look at the time of our economy, and the Great Depression was a terrible time, but you know it's a little dot in the scheme of things? People lost their whole worlds, depressed, committed suicide, all because we got our focus on the wrong thing. Just keep walking. Things are going to come. What goes up is going to go down. Don't listen to the negativity. If you know you got a good thing, stay invested. Focus on the right thing. When you're walking through the valley, don't look at the shadows. Look at the light. Turn to your neighbor and say, look at the light. Psalms 34, verse 19, the Bible says this, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. But the difference is this, the Lord helps him in each and every time, in every one.
Amen.
What is that? We all go through stuff. We all went through COVID like the world. When the economy goes down, there's recession coming in the world. Well, if it happens, it happens. Gas is expensive. We all have to pay the same gas. Even Costco's over $6 now. Come on. We all experience the same thing. But what's the difference? Christians have disappointments. Christians get sick. Christians experience accidents and tragedies. We have things happen to loved ones. We experience financial challenges. We have family problems, just like everybody else. But what's the big difference? We may go through things, believers and non-believers, all the same thing. But what's the difference? God is with us. His rod and his staff is there. It's not for our destruction. It's for our betterment. In the midst of the things that we go through, God is with us. We need to declare, God's got this. God's with you in the midst of your situation. Be encouraged to this. Go back to the presence of God. Let's put up again. In the midst of trials, maybe you're in a trial right now, or you're getting ready to go one, or you're coming out of one. What do we need to do? We need to not respond. Don't be afraid. Get rid of discouragement. Get encouragement in your life. Be thankful. Forget not his benefits. Well, I don't know what I can be thankful for. The first thing David says is, I'm saved.
Yes.
In the midst of that, get in the presence of God. Get the right perspective and see the light again. And remind yourself, if you're a child of God, are you a child of God? He's protecting you. His rod and his staff is a comfort to us in the midst of tribulation. Come on, God's working in us. God's revealing who he is to us. It's not for our destruction. It's to make us stronger. And all the people said,